This is KTOO Public Media's Juno Afternoon. I'm your host today, Scott Burton, and it's about 19 minutes until the top of the hour. It's time for Foodie Friday. I have two guests on the show today. I have my coworker, Robin Anderson, who is the Coast Alaska Membership Coordinator. Robin, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Nice to have you here. You were the person that introduced me to Stephanie Cutshall's the idea of the triple risen brioche donut. So we're going to be talking about that. And baker and pastry chef Stephanie Cutshall, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So nice to have you here. All right, Robin, take us back to the first time you tried this donut. What was it like?
Oh, my gosh. I don't remember the first time, but they are the best donuts I've ever had. And I knew it the first time I had one. I don't know what a triple rise brioche donut was, and I wanted to ask you about that. Why? What makes these donuts so special is what I've wondered since day one, because I grew up eating donuts like every weekend. We'd go to like the corner bakery in my hometown and, you know, like generation old recipes, and they were great. But like, this is the best donut I've ever had.
And so, this is at Copa?
At Copa.
Where
at
you
Copa,
work
yep.
sometimes, is that right?
Yep, I do. I'm the baker there. We have Donut Fridays. So every Friday, I get to make these triple risen brioche donuts. The three rise was actually kind of an accident, and it just kind of worked out. So I've been doing it ever since.
All right.
Is that like really time intensive? What does that mean for us non-bakers out there?
So basically what happened was I had this batch of donuts that was proofed and ready to go into the fryer, and I had forgotten to set up the fryer. So these donuts started overproofing. So at that point, I just kind of scrapped them, threw it all together, rolled it out again, cut out another batch of donuts, and let it proof for a third time. And it just made all the difference in the world in the flavor. It essentially just adds more flavor to the donut.
And what is proofing for a donut?
Proofing a donut is whenever you get all your ingredients mixed together in your bowl, proofing your dough, it happens whenever the yeast is activated and it incorporates air into your ball of dough, which is what we call the rise. The rise is very important. Too much rise, your donuts will deflate, or your baked good, whatever it is you're making. And too little rise, and they'll be really dense and really hard. And
yours have, like, the perfect amount of air pockets. They're, like, light and fluffy inside and, like, crispy, like, buttery on the outside. They're so great.
And so, you know, I think of a donut, of the traditional donut that we've all had, you know, since whenever. How does this differ from that? How would you describe that?
This is a brioche donut. So I think that kind of sets it apart from a regular donut, something that you might get from a grocery store or Krispy Kreme. But this basically means that this dough has a lot of butter. Eggs, milk. It's got all the good stuff in it that gives the really crisp outside and the airy pockets in the middle and nice and buttery.
You have one right here.
I do. I brought one with me. It is freshly fried, but it is from the batch this morning. I went ahead and just stole a ring before it was fried up. So, yeah, I did. I brought one to sample.
Can we try it? I'm going to take a picture for our listeners, and I'll put this up on the website. Whoa.
Yeah, they're huge.
How would you describe what that looks like, Robin?
Well, it's Mardi Gras flavors,
it
right?
It is, yeah.
Or,
this is our Mardi Gras
colors,
themed.
Not flavors. I already had a whole one this morning, so, Scott, you should dig in. And you bake everything else at Copa, right?
I do.
So it's not just donuts, but you have a smorgasbord of – What else do you make?
Anything from, you know, muffins to cookies, hand pies, danishes. You name it. I am fortunate enough to work for someone who allows a lot of creative freedom in the kitchen, and that's a really nice thing to be able to do.
Did I get it?
You got a little bit of a mustache.
Oh my goodness!
Isn't it so good?
Wow.
And they're huge.
This is huge. This is one of the biggest donuts I've ever seen.
I do miss the donut hole that you used to put on top, but I'm guessing you're taking that out and making more donuts with it instead.
So actually what's been happening is the staff have been enjoying the donut holes. And normally there's so many missing by the time I'm ready to put them out that there's going to be some that don't have holes
in the hole. Yeah, so reserve the donut holes for the staff. Yeah. That's nice. I'm sure they appreciate that.
I think they do.
Yeah.
So like you mentioned, Robin, it has all these perfect little air pockets. And then there's the crispy bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the nice topping and the icing. Wow.
And they're never too sweet, which mm-hmm. I love because you pack a lot of flavor in without it being too sugary sweet.
Thank you.
Stephanie, where did you learn how to bake?
So I went to Le Cordon Bleu in Austin, Texas, maybe 6 or 7 years ago. I always kind of dabbled in the kitchen. I started baking when I was 12 or 13 probably. My mom had the signature Betty Crocker cookbook with the faded orange binder. I think she got it as a wedding gift. And I used to take that book out of the cabinet and just read recipes. I don't know what it was exactly that intrigued me so much, but I would just read recipes. And then I just kind of started piddling around and trying out a few things myself. And it kind of became an obsession, not even so much a hobby as it just became something that I dreamed about it. I think about it constantly. I'm always thinking about recipes and what can I do to make something better and what else can I think of that maybe hasn't been thought of or hadn't been done here. And I realized I spent every waking moment that I wasn't doing a 9-to-5 job at home baking. And it got really expensive. So that's when I realized, you know what, maybe this is something I can do. Maybe this is something I can do. Maybe I should go to school for this. And it just kind of happened that way.
I've heard that bakers are perfectionists mm-hmm. and morning people. Is that true?
Absolutely. You definitely have to be a morning person, for sure. And yes, that one of the things that I really love about baking is everything is very precise and exact. And if you do it once that way, and you do it the second time that way, and you do it every other time that way, you're going to get the same product every single – it's consistent, and that's a satisfaction.
But there's a lot of ways it can go wrong.
There are.
Like, you
there
have
are.
To be perfect
but
with
that,
everything.
That part's kind of fun, too, you know, when something goes wrong because everything is, you know, measured out exactly. You can kind of go back and figure out, okay, I went up to this part. I followed the directions. Where did the – you know, you can kind of troubleshoot a little bit mm-hmm. and figure out – how to go back or just correct it or maybe do something different the next time. Or
is there a part of it that's not fun? Is there a challenging part I'm imagining as well?
There are moments when things get challenging. I've had quite a few fails over the years. There have been times when I've just had to just walk away from it and just come back later and, okay, we're going to try this again. With donuts, it's exactly how that happened. I didn't really start making donuts until 2 years ago when I lived in Sitka. We were a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine that I worked for there, Chef Edith Johnson. She and I were having a conversation. There really wasn't anywhere in Sitka to get a really good yeasted fried donut aside from like the grocery stores. And it just kind of got into my head at that point that I was going to figure out how to make a donut. I didn't know what kind of donut it was going to be. I was just going to figure it out. So I spent the next few weeks pretty much just frying up different donut recipes until I figured out a, kind of a combination of what I liked, what I wanted in a donut. And that's how this kind of was born.
Got it. And I guess flip side of that question, what's the most fulfilling part of it? Seeing people eat them
Absolutely.
And enjoy them? Or
yeah, I think that's definitely one of the best parts is just seeing people enjoy them.
Robin, do you like to bake or cook?
I like to cook. I like to find ways to incorporate all my like obsessively researched nutritional, highly nutritious superfoods in my cupboards that I never use into my everyday cooking. So that is my obsession where I'm thinking like, okay, I can get my matcha into this dish or this breakfast and I can get my reishi mushroom into this thing. And I don't bake, though, because, like, once it's in the oven, like, you can't fix your dough. Like, I like to cook, add as I go on top of the stove. That's easier for me. I had a question, though, for you. What are some of your favorite flavor combinations? I watch a lot of Great British Baking Show. That's the extent of my baking, is just watching that show.
That's
and,
a good one, though.
And, yeah, so I'm curious, what are some of your favorite flavors?
So I've noticed that I tend to do a lot with peanut butter. I didn't realize I did so many different combinations until recently. I actually kind of looked back on it. So I guess peanut butter variations is okay. On the top of my list.
I have had at least one from Copa from you, yeah.
Since I've done several different kinds. But honestly, I just like a good sugared donut.
Mm.
You know, that's probably one of my favorites is just to dust it with a little bit of sugar and leave it alone.
Yeah.
Chocolate's always a classic. We have a lot of chocolate lovers.
Mm-hmm. All right, Stephanie. So often as part of Foodie Friday, we ask you to give our listeners out there sort of an accessible recipe, something they can try this weekend. What have you chosen to share with us?
So the recipe that I chose is a beignet recipe. I thought it would be appropriate being that Mardi Gras was next week. This is a very simple recipe. Anybody can do it at home. You don't have to have any special equipment. You don't have to have a fancy fryer or even a donut cutter. It's fairly straightforward.
What does a beignet look like?
So beignets, typically, I've seen many different variations of a beignet, but a traditional beignet is typically cut into little squares, like 1 or 2 inch squares, and then fried that way. And it's very generously sprinkled with powdered sugar.
All right. Okay. Mm. How do we get going with this?
And
if you want to just give us like the outline of it, and then I will put that recipe at ktoo.org as well.
One thing about donut recipes is they're all basically the same method, just different ratios of ingredients. So you pretty much do the same thing every single time. This one, you know, this is a yeasted dough. So you do want to activate your yeast and I think this one uses water. You can use milk as well. But you activate your yeast and water. You basically add your sugar, your egg, your fat, salt and your yeast together. You want to mix your flour in until you get a nice homogeneous, kind of elastic-y type dough. And then from there, you let it proof for about an hour, roll it out, cut it into little squares, and fry them up.
Mm. Where should we get our yeast and where should we get our flour and what kind do you like?
So any of the grocery stores here should carry yeast. I recommend active dry yeast. That does need to be activated in a liquid. If you do instant yeast, you don't activate that. You would just throw it right into the bowl of ingredients with all your flour and whatnot. This particular recipe uses all-purpose flour. That's the type of flour that a lot of people have in their homes already. So you can use that. You can also kind of play around with combinations of flours, which I really love to do. You could use a little bread flour, a little cake flour. If you don't want to go down that route and you want to keep it as simple as possible, then just your regular all-purpose flour.
I used to think that a lot of donuts were deep fried. Is that still true? Are they baked? How are they often cooked?
Some of them are baked. The ones that I've been doing are fried, but you can absolutely bake a donut. Normally, it's not a yeasted donut whenever it's baked. It would be like a cake donut, a little bit heavier, kind of cakey.
Like the old-fashioned donuts?
Yeah, like the old-fashioned donuts. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Just like that.
And these beignets, how are these going to be cooked?
So these are fried.
All right.
Yeah.
And at home, can we do that in a pan with some oil?
Absolutely. Just, just a skillet with 2-3 inches of oil in it. Just get it nice and hot and you should be good to go.
Any recommendation on the oil type?
I use canola. My preference is peanut oil, but there's so many peanut allergies out there.
Yeah.
So I've just been using canola oil at Copa. So it's kind of up to you, kind of your preference. You just want something that can handle a higher temperature.
All right.
So not olive oil.
Definitely not olive oil.
So Robin taught us that the triple risen brioche donut is at Copa on Fridays. Mm-hmm. Are there any other days we should look out for or specialties?
Oh, you should definitely just Come in every day.
I heard something about a savory twisty on Thursday mornings. Does that ring a bell?
I think it's every morning.
The spirals?
The egg spirals.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or, the egg spirals. Yep.
Those. Or there's the egg things, and then there's the other spirals.
And then the savory spirals. So we do have those every day. Monday, Wednesday, Fridays are our meat and cheese. We do a mozzarella and bacon spiral. And Tuesdays and Thursdays, we do a vegetarian spiral. It's got pesto and olives, sun-dried tomatoes. It's a really good one. Yeah, that one's – and it just looks beautiful when it's baked up. I really like doing that one a lot. But those are offered every day. Yeah, definitely. Donut Fridays, and maybe we can incorporate other baked goods.
Will you keep an eye on it for us, Robin?
Like, there has to be a day for hand pies or, like, you know, hand pie Tuesdays, whatever day it is. Those are great, too.
I think bagels would be fun to do, too, right?
Yeah.
Right?
We need fresh bagels in this town.
That's
again.
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah.
Oh, it's been great meeting you, Stephanie Cutshaw. She's a baker at Copa and pastry chef. And Robin Anderson, coworker here at KTOO Public Media, has helped with the interview. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you both so much. Anything else that you'd like to add?
Thank you.
All right.
No, thanks. Yeah. I'm just gushing.
And we're going to have a picture of the donut and the recipe for the beignets at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. Thanks, you too.
Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.